Hey, I want to tell you, I made an observation this week. Some of you are getting older. Now, that might be news to you, but it's true. I want you to know that I'm getting older. Recently, I had a birthday, and now I carry around in my wallet a little card printed by the government that entitles me to certain benefits upon my arrival at this station in life. You might have one of those too. If you don't have one yet, it's coming. Actually, I declined the AARP card, but they keep after me. Now, here's another thing, and this might surprise you. Trinity Church is getting a little bit older as well. We're in our 41st year. Now, some of you understand what happens when you get older. You say, yes, we get wiser. We have a special aura about us. Young people flock to us because of the wisdom. That's true. Sometimes. However, I have noticed that many times when churches reach the age of about 30 or 40, they tend to have a little bit of a decline, maybe even a flat spot, occasionally even decline. Yes. And so part of what we're going to look at today is the theme of helping the next generation that's just below us be encouraged and be enthused and be committed to the things of God. I believe this is a good theme for Mother's Day. I just finished reading a book about changing course, how to lead older churches in a new direction. And he had a number of things in that book. One of the major chapters toward the beginning of the book had this title, Getting Younger. Now, he didn't say, okay, we all have to go out and get our Botox and our facelift and all that sort of stuff. He actually was talking about the age, not only of the congregation, but of those who are part of children's and youth ministries, and the numbers and the intensity and the encouragement. That's a vital part. Now, here's great news. You're going to get a new pastor who's just a little older than my son. And that's good news, because he will bring what some of us old fogies just really can't bring. Energy. Sparkle. And some of you will go, what in the world is he thinking? Stay with him. He's thinking well. And probably will help Trinity Church get younger. That will mean maybe some changes in various things, probably a number of things. So I want you, and I encourage you, we're going to talk some more about this. I want you to stay with them. I want you to embrace. I want you to engage, not just lightly, but with vigor and with enthusiasm. So what we're going to talk about today is teach the children well. Some of you might remember there was a song way back when, and again, I date myself, about that very theme. We're not going to go there, but the emphasis today is to work on some spiritual vitality so that there will be great things that come in the future. I think I wrote that in your bulletin there. Spiritual vibrancy tomorrow depends on spiritual training today. Today. Now, just about everybody in this room will say, yeah, that's cool. That's the way it works. However, for that to occur, some engagement, some energy, some horsepower will need to be invested in that. Now, what I'd like us to do is look way back into the Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy today. And I encourage you to take a text. I hope that you brought one with you, either in electronic or in a paper version. This is instruction that came actually a little over 3,000 years ago. But as I restudied this, I was amazed at how timely and how powerful for us in the 21st century. Now, before we dig into this, I want to just set some of the stage. There's a guy named Moses, And he is rehearsing for the group of people. They've just come out of a very difficult transition. And they're right on the brink of entering the promised land to a place that the Bible describes as flowing with milk and honey. That's their ancient way of saying this is a really good turf. And he's telling them, this is how you're going to enjoy it. This is how you need to engage with that. And if you do, God will bless you. God will encourage you. God will keep you going. In fact, I've been using a study Bible, and I just want to read from the introduction here. This is from Dr. Peter Craigie, and he summarizes the book of Deuteronomy like this. Though the scene is set more than 3,000 years in the past, Deuteronomy is still a book of considerable contemporary relevance. Then, as now, the surrounding world has experienced times of change, political tension, military engagement. You see that every night on the 6 o'clock news. This book provides a paradigm for God's kingdom in the modern world. It is a time of renewing commitment within the new covenant and turning toward the future with a view of possessing God's eternal promises. In fact, I thought this morning I was going to ask the question, how many of you have read the book of Deuteronomy through all the way in the last year? But I'm not, some of you have, but I wasn't going to have you raise your hand because we might be embarrassed. But Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy far more than any other book of the Old Testament. It's very timely. So what we're going to do is we're going to examine some of the text here that relates to what it will take in order for spiritual vibrancy to occur in the next chapter in the life of Trinity Church. And I want you to turn over to chapter 6. That's where we're going to drill for just a little bit. While you're turning there, I want to just share something that God just impressed on my heart this morning as I was reflecting on this. And I actually wrote it in the margin here. And if you don't get anything else out of today, I want you to get this. God often delays our progress until we renew our obedience. Okay? I think that's a keeper. God may delay our progress until we renew our obedience. As we said, that's something you can stick on your bathroom mirror. You keep doing that, you might not be able to find anything else there. That'd be good. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to read a section here. This is powerful material. It's the kind of material that can impact us right here, right now. I'm reading from the New Living. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. That is Moses, to teach these people. You must obey them in the land that you're about to enter and occupy. You and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all these decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. That's how it's connected. Listen closely, Israel. Listen closely, Trinity Church. Be careful to obey. Then it will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God promised you. Again, verse 4. Listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only God. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to his commands. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands. Wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on your doorposts. Write them on the gates of your house. Now, I'd say that's fairly intense. So what I'd like us to do is just explore this for a little bit. Under this theme of spiritual vibrancy tomorrow is going to depend on spiritual training, spiritual instilling these things today. And here's some of the points that I want to just share with you. The first is this. Provide the next generation with a godly example. A godly example. Now, here's the issue. In my journey here lately, I've discovered that millennials, that is that age from about 18 to 30, are leaving the church in busloads. And I ask myself, why is that happening? Well, those who are researching have come up with a fairly clear answer to that. One of the things that that generation hates is phony religion. And my generation has been guilty of phony religion. Has it been intentional? I don't know. But in some cases, like, okay, all you have to do is just look good. You don't have to be good. But let me tell you something. The younger generation sees right through that. They are not impressed with people who just look good but aren't good, particularly in the spiritual arena. And what they say? I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm out of here. And so they are. If you want the next generation to follow Jesus, guess who gets to follow Jesus first? It's you. It's you. It's you. You know, the old adage, well, don't do as I do, but do as I say. That don't cut it. Now, if we think about it for a minute, we know that don't cut it. But sometimes we keep doing it and hoping something will change. Let's look at how he puts this here in verse 4. Listen, O Israel. And literally he's saying here, listen up, y'all. I may get that before I go back to Calvary. Woo! I'm working on it. I don't know how to spell it yet, but I'm working on that too. Listen, O Israel. The Lord your God is the only God. Therefore, you, and he underlines you here, you must love the Lord your God. You must love him with all your heart. You must love him with all your soul. And you must love him with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these things I'm giving you today. That happens before I can hand this to the next generation. You must embrace it. You must have it tightly bound in your heart. What will that mean? What will that mean? Well, it means actually quite a bit. Basically, what came to me as I studied this, two phrases. Listen carefully, obey fully. That's it. Listen carefully and obey fully. Now, there's a couple things that go with this, and I just want to highlight just a couple. One that will help us in this is what we call this event right here. I call it the weekly gathering. Sometimes we call it church, which is a bit of a misnomer. You are the church, and you're the church whether you're in this room or whether you're not. But the weekly gathering, if the next generation sees you embracing this with passion and with energy, they will say, you know, I think that's important. I think that's really, really important. So what does it look like? Well, it means that when we come prayed up. We come hungry. We come prepared. We come early. We come early. Y'all hear me? And why? And I'm going to get in trouble. Save the cards and letters, emails. My mama taught me it's rude to show up late. Now, before you throw overripe fruit, just listen to me. If you had an appointment with somebody who was the most powerful person on the planet, would you be late? Stay with me. Stay with me. Who did you come here to engage with? Oh, I came to see my friends, you know. Great music, you know, wonderful architecture, nice carpet. It's about God. It's about God. And if I'm reading the text of Scripture, as he repeats right here, he said, listen, Israel, Yahweh is the only God. Creator, sovereign, powerful, and if he changes his mind, and the next breath you draw would kill you. Just like that. See, part of this is this, our theology is sometimes flimsy. Now, if you feel uncomfortable with this, that's okay. Who is God? Who is God? Now, here's another one, and I just call this the daily connection. The daily connection. Some people call this the quiet time. And I'm amazed at how few Christians actually do this. They just run through their life and don't have that space where they can connect with God. Can I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, just to take 5 minutes a day, preferably early in the day, and say, God, here I am. I'm your person. We gave you that little discipleship prayer a couple of weeks ago. That that's not complex. Now, people, now here's the number one thing. Well, Pastor, you know, I just don't have time. Well, let me respectfully disagree with you. You do have time. You just did something else with it. You have the same amount of time as everybody on the planet. No more and no less. What are you doing with it? As fast as I see people drive up and down here, they must have tons of time because they're getting wherever they're going really, really fast. And all the electronic devices that we have, save time, save time, save time. What do you do with all that time you saved? You can't put it in the bank. A daily connection. Well, there's a lot we could say here, but he emphasizes in this text, listen well, obey fully. It's not just an Old Testament concept. It's right in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. James chapter 1 talks clearly about the fact, listen, don't just hear what God is saying, actually do it. Chapter 4, if you go back just a few pages I've given you there in the five appointments, he talks about it again. Chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, same theme. Now here's the second point I want us to explore. Teach the next generation. I've called this with focused diligence. Teach the next generation with focused diligence. In other words, take that really, really seriously, because that's so important. That is absolutely critical. Notice how he puts it here. Verse 7, repeat them, that is these commands that I've given to, repeat them again and again and again and again to your children. And then he gives some variety of how you're going to do it. Talk about it when you're at home. Talk about it when you're in travel, you're in transit. Talk about it when you go to bed. Talk about it when you get up. Tie them on your hands. In other words, get it right where you can see it and actually plaster it on your forehead. Orthodox Jews today still wear these little boxes, phylacteries, and they put verses in there so that it will be front and center in their life. Write them on your doorposts. Write them on your gates. Most of us don't necessarily have doorposts and gates, but we talk about the mirror. Stick it on the bathroom mirror. There you have it. I discovered with our kids, the time they want to talk about Jesus most is when it's time for bed. Oh, Dad, can we have another story? Okay. Now, here's the thing. We get the idea of drill and repetition and practice and rehearsal in just about every quadrant of life except spiritual development. We understand in academics, you know, drill on your multiplication tables, practice your spelling. I guess they still do that in school, I don't know. Hopefully they do, so that you will master the contents. We understand it in sports. If you're going to excel in a sport, you have to train, you have to drill, you have to practice. And I hear parents say, well, you know, I can't even go to church because there's a soccer tournament. I go, what? I'm going to offend you again, but sport has become the new god of this culture. And I ask myself, how can a small, round, leather thing filled with air be a more important than Yahweh, God of the universe? I don't understand that. But for many people, it is. And that's how they craft their life. Well, that's convicting. Let's go on. Music. We understand it in music. If you're going to excel at music, play your scales. Work on that. Make sure that you practice every day so you can master this instrument. And what happens? What we have done, we have created superior athletes and scrawny Christians because of the emphasis of our society and our culture. God help us. How long will it be before athletics becomes something in the rearview mirror? Well, all I have to do is blow out your knee and you're finished. You're finished. So you want spiritual vibrancy? Invest in this spiritual training. Invest in the next generation. Now, I'm just going to fast forward just a little bit here. I want to give you a verse as somewhat tongue-in-cheek that helped my children grow up to be godly children. It is Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. How many of you know Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17? The eye that despises its father and rejects its mother will be plucked out by the ravens and eaten by the vultures of the valley. Now, if you ask my kids today what verse was always quoted to them from Proverbs, they will quote you that verse just like that. Now, it must have worked. Most of my kids are in career ministry, so whatever it takes. I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but there's some truth to be said. Spiritual vibrancy tomorrow will depend on spiritual, intense spiritual training today. And we need all of you to be a part. When we were in Africa years ago, we learned a little saying. It takes a village to raise a child. Now, I know that phrase has been hijacked in more modern times, but it's still true. Let me look at it this way. It takes a church to nurture a child.